Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and I'm back. I hope that I'm being heard now.
You are.
Nancy. Okay. Well, I think we got an answer to our question, and that between you and I, there cannot be two active hosts. And I happen to be the second one, so I wasn't being heard. So now that we both logged out and I logged back in, we're fine. So
yay.
Yeah. I think there's a learning curve on just about everything right now because the world is changing so fast. Well, anybody left, I don't want to communicate any more stress at all to anyone. We did have some difficulty sending out our invitation last night. That service was not available to us, and I'm so glad that most of you have our number on speed dial. In case you don't, or if you have a friend who likes to join, make sure they've got our number on speed dial. I don't anticipate this happening again. It hasn't happened in 20 years, but hey, we're in a very much changing world, so let's be prepared. We want to stay connected. And as I was saying before, we untimely logged off. We are always connected to the one who truly cares about us, and his light always shines upon us. I really enjoyed the presentation of the Easter message last week because it was all about bringing his light to the world and his light being the light of truth. This is what we need so much right now. There's very, very little need for the news right now unless it's emergency service because very little of it can be relied upon. I'm not saying it's all fabricated or wrong, but very little of it can be relied upon because there is so much conflict and pressure to influence a position or an opinion that is mainly what you're going to get. And we don't want opinions and influences. We need the truth. We need to have how to support our life. I have a funny little anecdote to tell you. Last night I was trying to get a little relief from the stress I'd gone through, and I was just going around on YouTube looking for things that might be a comedic. And I came across an old copy of a Beverly Hills the Beverly Hillbillies from 1962. And I thought, oh my goodness, I can hardly even remember this. It was like it was in another life. But it was charming, and it reminded me of something that I think we all need to think about. People who lived very close to the land, they just went immediately to solve their problems from the land. For example, they arrived in their mansion in Beverly Hills, and the first thing Jed said to Granny is, I got to go cut some firewood for the stove. Not even thinking about what a modern oven would be like. I got to go cut some firewood. Okay, Jethro, you go get a buck and we'll find a well and haul some water. They were just repeating a routine that they would have had with their cabin connected to the land. Whatever they needed, they would just go get from the land. Well, that brings up a fascinating and profound point about truth. We know that God created the world. Well, not nature, the earth. Okay. Not every aspect of worldly world, but of nature and earth and the foundation of our existence was created by God. We know that the sun is going to rise in the east and it's going to set in the west. We know these things and we have confidence in them. And so when we base our life on things we have total confidence in, we could arrive in the strangest of places and we'll just basically say, I got to go cut some wood. You know, I got to go find some chickens with eggs in their nest. I got to have some food. I got to go harvest some vegetables. And it would just all be there. No question, is this true? Can I rely on it? Are there additives in the food? How many calories? The worldly world has created such a complexity that almost everything that we try to inform ourselves with is a multi-leveled report of who said what about this and about that, and can it be counted on to support our life? It's very complex, my friends. I'm not saying that it was promulgated by evil or bad intention. It's just the complexity that came from human-engineered reality, which is not always all that close to truth. I really felt nostalgic for my own early life and my family. My mother came from a farming family. My father came from a ranching family. There couldn't have been any two people closer to the earth. They grew all of their food, literally, animal, plant, eggs, milk, everything. They grew it all. Everything on our table was God's creation. And, you know, they would only go to the grocery store to get, well, cleaning supplies, but not even that totally. My mother, I got to remember that from Granny Clampett, because my mother would make her own lye soap. She did not trust what was in detergent. So that's the world I grew up in. And I thought, wow, God really directed me to a little recording that brought me back to a reality I love, which is his reality. I'm not sure how we can find it in a modern urban world, but we can dive our explorations of truth deep into the substance of what's presented to us to see, well, is this really true? Is this really what I want to put in my body? Is this really what I want for my life? See, the thing is, your body has the answer. One thing you can count on is God created you. God created you, and you are the anchor. Yeshua said, not only did he say, I am the light of the world, he told us to be the light of the world, to stand on a hilltop and shine our light. So you are truth, you are love, and that's where you go to find this foundation that has been covered up with many, many layers of, I'm just going to call it complexity. I don't think most of it was intentional deception, but it's one layer built on top of another layer on top of another, and we have to wonder, well, when do we get to the pure and perfect bed of the ocean? Probably not right now, but you can find it in your heart. And this is another place to go. The Sacred Heart. There's a whole chapter in Love Without End about the Sacred Heart and the dimensions of intelligence in the Sacred Heart. Read that and explore those dimensions, because they are perfect, pristine, and true. Something you can trust, and you can direct them toward life to find the most innocent possible relationship with what's around you and what you need for your life and your body, your heart, and your soul, and all of your relationships. You can find them there. And one of my favorites is the way he tells us about innocent perception. He tells us actually to look at the sunrise and the sunset. Maybe not every day, but as often as you can. And just behold the direct and innocent connection it has to the earth. It's been there since the beginning. It only changes fragmentally with different sunspots, but the dynamics of our solar source doesn't change. It's just highly compressed gases that then burn and give off light. And they provide life to, they provide light to every form of life on this earth. It's good for you to just take in that light. Yeshua told me that actually contained in the light of the sun, when it's unfiltered, which is why it's good to look at it at dawn or just as it's setting in the evening, when it's unfiltered, it contains every vitamin and mineral your body needs. He said that is how the native people of this earth got their vitamins and their minerals, was their sunset or sunrise gatherings. And they would bring fresh water, sometimes have an anointing of feet or a washing of hands or face, and allow the sun to sparkle on it. They receive nourishment from the sun because it's pure, it's unaltered, and there's nobody who's going to change it. For the duration of our relationship to it. It was about three Sundays ago, I talked to you about something that is also really important and vital to this presentation today. And that is that love always works. I'll give you an example. Let's just take the love that you are. Let's just say that you're distressed about something in the world, as I was for hours last night. I finally got myself cleared of that distress and back in a loving state by just going within to the love that I am. And I just said to myself, let me find something that will reconnect my relationship to the love I have always been. And that's when I found that copy of the Beverly Hillbillies. They don't play that anymore. It hasn't been on the air for probably 25 years. Even then, it was reruns. You go back to the love that you are, and you will find the kind of relationship to yourself that can bring you into a greater love of the environment. You see, love always works. It's just that relationships don't always work. And last night was a classic example of how a relationship I had with a company that holds all the data to all of my contacts was not willing to authenticate me, even though I was a 23-year member. Clearly, something went wrong in their mechanical side of it. I'm not blaming any human person on this. But the relationship broke down, okay? I mean, that's really, really clear. And then I got very upset about it because I have never not sent out an invitation. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Will everybody find their way here? And then I went to my heart and had a talk with Yeshua, and he said, they'll be there. He said, I am their invitation. You don't have to worry about this company that failed you. I am their light. I am their calling. And I said, thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. I can sleep now. And that's a kind of a classic example of how a relationship can break down. And it can. But that doesn't mean the love is defeated. Especially in this very airy, complicated world we live in. There's so many links between point A and point B. And anywhere along the line, one of those links could break. And we go, oh my Lord, where am I? Go into yourself. Find the love that you are. Find your peace. This is one of the great values of meditation. Not that it's going to solve all your worldly problems. It's not. Not that it's going to always bring peace and relaxation. Sometimes I walk away and I think, well, gee, I probably should have spent my time doing something else. But here's what it always does. It reminds you of how you can do that. Because peace belongs to you. And even if you can't find it in the world, it belongs to you. And you learn how to access that point. You learn to be confident that within you that place exists. And many times in a specific way and method, it's there for you. And things do go right because you're finding peace in exactly the way somebody is looking for you and seeking peace. And it's wonderful when we join in that place. But it still comes down to love. Love never ends. Love never dies. And it always works. But it does get intercepted. And I think that this threshold of the eclipse is a perfect way of explaining that. Okay. In this eclipse, the moon and the sun and the earth will be perfectly lined up. And it's going to block light from those in the pathway of this blockage. But did the sun stop shining? Did the moon stop reflecting that light? And did our alignment with it cease to exist? No, not at all. All it's going to take is just a little bit of movement, a little bit of change, moving forward, couple of hours, we're back. This is how we experience what we think is a broken heart, what we think is love lost. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of movement, a little bit of realignment, readjustment, and then perhaps going to the place of peace within yourself where you're able to say, this is okay. It's fine. I'm living through it. All is well. So it's the relationships that need to adjust. Now, sometimes we need to adjust the relationships with a conversation or a better plan. Maybe if it's with your career, you make a plan for changing that. You don't just go in on Monday morning and give your resignation. You want to give yourself a chance to form a plan. Well, where would be better for you? Where are your alternatives? Research it. Think about it. Ask other people. Pray about it. And put it on a timeline for doing something about it. Then when you're ready to make a move, you turn in your resignation. But you give them till the end of the month, and you take till the end of the month, so everybody has a win-win situation. You know, you, and that's love working through a relationship that's not working. Unfortunately, see, what happens is that we think in this very crowded, complicated world, the relationship is the thing. It's not the thing. And it never was the thing. It never will be the thing. The reason the world presents you with that concept and wants you to persuade you to uphold and be devoted to that concept is because some factor or faction or person or corporation owns that relationship. And through owning that relationship, they own you. Well, my friends, there's only one connection that owns you. And that's the one that created you. That's the only one that matters. The only one that endures. And even if this company that employs you gives you an assurance contract with a retirement, don't believe it, because some foul play could occur, some financial disaster could occur, and the company is gone. It doesn't have the ability to keep its promises, even though it wants you to believe it can. There's only one who will keep promises to you. That's your Creator. And He has promised you eternal life. Life never dies. Love never ends. These are two promises you can count your life on. You can stand on and know they are true. So if anything tries to disagree with that, you disagree with what's disagreeing with these two pivotal truths. Okay, if love looks like it's ending, well, there's something else wrong. It's not that. There is something wrong. If anything can put a cloud over love, yeah, there's something wrong, but it's not love. Love's not what's wrong. There's something else, so let's look for what else it could be. Could be a misunderstanding. Could be that what we confuse with love is ending. You know, there's a timeline to everything in the world. There's an expiration date to everything in the world. Now, please understand I'm saying in the world. Now, the reason why is because the world is created out of the matter, energy, space, time, quantifiable existence. What's a quantifiable existence? It can be measured. Okay, today's 24 hours long. How many yards are in a mile? How many miles are there between you and your hometown? That's a quantifiable measurement. I don't like this one, but, you know, how many pounds are showing up on the scale today? That's quantifiable. And we like to usually change that in a downward position, unless we're weighing a newborn baby. And then, yeah, a few more ounces would be nice to see. But it's still quantifiable. Everything quantifiable has either a change point or a termination point. It does. Nothing lasts in the world. It can be transformed. The energy that comprised it can turn into something that's even more beneficial. I'll give you an example on that. My family was very, very tuned into me. I was so blessed as a child. I mean, my life was not without problems, and my family was not without problems. They're human, and humans have problems. But given still the range of human possibilities, I was blessed. I was very blessed. God chose my parents very carefully, and they took care of me. And part of their care is they observed my talents, my interests, and they supported them. Now, they didn't exactly support them in the way I would have wanted to support them. My mother wanted me to be an artist because she knew I would need to be, because that was my main talent, and that's what I devoted my youth to. But she wanted me to be her ideal of an artist. Well, that wasn't going to work, and there was no breaking out of it for me. So my professors observed my frustration, and they redirected me into art history instead of painting. Well, in my years of art history study, I found the ways and means to take all of that energy my mother had given me, all of the energy my years in art history had given me, and turn them into what I wanted to use to be the artist of my life for the next, well, rest of my life. And I was a realist painter, but kind of a transformative, not just blocked in, paint by the number. No, I was a creative transformational artist that I would take inspiration from so many places and find a way to express it. Well, I did that until 1991, when Yeshua decides, I think I want you for my portraitist. Oh my goodness, I was walking to the altar, and I thought I could never live through that. But I did, and I found the next stage of creativity for me. Okay, so it's transformed through my life, and whatever you thought was right for you when you were 14 or 20, 25, 30, don't know where you are in your life stage, but it may change, and it probably should change, because you're going through this world, but you're not being it. Just as Yeshua said as a message to all of us, I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. Same thing for you. You are a soul. You're a divine soul, child of God, housed in a human body while you're here. And your human life will go through stages, and it will have different relationships to the world, even different relationships with each other. And those relationships sometimes need to change. I have encountered very few lifelong friends, very, very few. I had one that I would have bet my life was going to last me for a lifetime, but it didn't. It didn't. We went our separate ways, and we still see each other maybe once every 5 years and have lunch and reminisce over the past, and then don't see each other again for another 5 years. You know, that's not the kind of friendship. We grew up like sisters, almost like twin sisters. I just knew it was going to last forever. But, you know, we are created, you, the soul, me, the soul, all of us coming together. We come from a dimension that has its own reality, that has its own ordination of creation, that has its own relationship with God and all of us with one another. And every single one of us at some point in time are going to walk through the door, and on the other side, we're going to find everybody we loved and they're going to say, welcome home. But for now, we are a two-sided being. We're divine, and we're what's possible. And the what's possible is where we run into negotiation points, where we have to understand the environment a little better, understand one another, do our best to speak the truth. And even though we think we are, sometimes we just didn't know. We didn't know what was going on. So we do our best. We do our best to be faithful to a friendship, a family, whatever relationship we're in. We do our best at work. And we pray. And we pray that our best is actually connected to the higher truth we know and to the greater love that will always be. So that is what I was called to bring you today. And I think now, Nancy, it would be really a good time to open this to our community.
Absolutely. Well, let me open our first caller, area code 512. I think it's Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
How are you? I just wanted to express my gratitude. Okay, 4 years ago, I had a stroke, and I finally saw the neurologist Friday, and he got me off medicines. He said, you don't have to come back and see me because I can put the stroke behind me and not worry about it. I know. And so it took me a day to go, I don't have to worry about it anymore. And my glucose is getting manageable. My blood pressure is in normal range. My sister, we don't have the MRI yet. That'll be at the end of this month. But she is feeling much better. The headaches are going away. Everything is so wonderful. And I just want to thank God and those and the powers that be. Say thank you for being there with us and to keep being with us. And thank you. It seems so small, but it's so large.
It's huge, Nancy. It is huge. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for being the miracle, and bringing us through your life a testimony that miracles are possible.
Amen.
Yeah.
You are a messenger to us today. And, the thing that it really, really confirms exactly what I was saying. And that is that in this world, there's a termination date for everything. And you got your termination date on that stroke. It's over. It's gone.
Uh-huh.
You were patient, you were faithful, you were diligent, and you did all the right things that you could do from being inside the world. And mm-hmm. the divine assistance that was available to you took care of the rest.
Yes. I'm so grateful for all this. And when you were talking, I go, I have a client. I'm a massage therapist, and I have a client that keeps trying to save me.
Do you know Jesus?
yeah.
Oh, dear.
I do. Very, very well. And he had a conversation. It's like he was bringing up everything from the Bible that's, about what he believes, which is wonderful. I think everybody has their path to God. Everybody mm-hmm. makes their own little way through. to get back back to God and to open themselves for God. And I kind of go, yeah, you know, that's very structured. And I go, oh, how do you feel? How do you feel when you're with God? And he didn't trust himself to feel what God gives him. And I go, you're just in a different spot than I am. And got him back to sleep.
Very good. Well done.
I'm just so blessed with where I am with my relationship to Yeshua, and I thank you because you have given me a way, you know, of expressing, you know, how I feel. Getting through your books takes me forever because I have to figure out how I feel and bringing it into words. When, you know, and how do these words correlate to how I feel and everything? So I thank you for.
You are welcome. But I just want to remind you, he is the way.
It's an outline.
He's the way.
It's an outline.
I'm the messenger. He's the way. Actually, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
And the thing is, see, what happened? I'm sure the apostles felt the same way you do. They were there. They could feel him. They could feel the presence of God with them whenever he opened his mouth. Okay. But then over almost 2,000 years, what layers of the world came to engulf, lay upon, surround, and even add levels of permission to the recorded words that he spoke. And some people are caught up in those layers. Some people are caught up in the worldly perspective of how you've got to travel in order to find God again. And you don't have to go anywhere. It's already inside you. The map is there. God is already inside you. You don't need permission. You don't need any of the protocols that a lot of people think you need. The Holy
Ritual.
Spirit is, yeah, exactly. And the Holy Spirit is always available for you to call on. And your relationship to Yeshua is sealed in your heart. You just need to open your heart and walk in. So it's there, everybody. And when you do, the world backs away because it's an illusion. The world is an illusion. God is not an illusion. God is the truth. Yeshua is the truth. Holy Spirit is the truth. And there are many, many manifestations of truth in life around us. Life is, as Yeshua described, life is love in action. So, you know, even the birds and the bees will seek the right flower because it's love in action, and they want, you know, they want baby bees, baby birds. they want to pollinate flowers. So, you know, all of life is just driven by love and attraction and creation and perpetuation of whatever species it is. So the oak tree just gets stronger and stronger every year so it can withstand the storms. And in the process, it becomes a habitat for hundreds of other species of life. It's just really amazing when you look at the beauty of life. And you can go there, and if your scientific process is not too complicated, you can find truth real easy. one of the things I'm very much enjoying right now is the different studies that have been made of the great whales, because it just amazes me how they live in the depths of the ocean where no human can change things. Isn't that wonderful? Okay.
And also, may the angels be with us tomorrow as we have the eclipse, and hopefully, and the clouds will get out of the way so that we can enjoy it.
Okay. All right. Well, we hope that the clouds will go to a place where people couldn't see it anyway.
Right.
That's kind of a win-win. And then we can take pictures. That way we can take pictures and send them pictures.
That's right. Anyway, enjoy the eclipse tomorrow, everyone. And
okay. Thank you, Nancy. And,
thank you.
Enjoy your blessing. All right. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Thank you, bye. Nancy. Okay, let's see, Glenda. We have, it's area code 406. I'm not sure I know the number.
It's Joanna. Hi there. Hey, I have a birthday on April 9th, and I'm going to be 83 years old. And my astrologer compared my astrology birth chart to the eclipse, and he said you're gonna light up like a Christmas tree, because I almost everything is identical to when I was born in 1941.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so excited about it, and basically just felt I wanted to share that with all of you, and that it's a happy one for all of us, an opportunity to keep being more enlightened as all of us are. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Oh, well, congratulations and happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And we want reports on this too. You come back next week and let us hear how your birthday went and your great illumination party. Okay.
Yes, thank you. All right. I'll do that. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye,
thank
honey.
Thank you, Linda.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We have, oh, let's see, Jen. Glenda, I've got.
Oh, I'm going to back to me. Yeah,
Nope. We have Zach Shorty.
Yes. Oh, Glenda, I really appreciate how you started the conversation, because it is also what was on my heart to give thanks to my very, very deep connection to the earth. And all the Chinese medicine that Sybil gives me, I respond so, so intimately and beautifully, especially to Chinese medicine. So I really, really appreciate the uniqueness of what I want to say and what you had to say. And you know how we had some problems when it started here? You were having that early eclipse. That's why communication wasn't working.
Yeah, we're already
there.
Well, we're already receiving some solar winds from it. It's already in the vicinity of happening, and solar winds are actually building up, and the EM field is changing right now. So this is something that all of you who are sensitive can pray into, and create some stability for other people to be comforted by. And I would invite you to do that.
Awesome.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's some static on the phone here.
Yes, I know, and I do not know how to control for that. Stormy, can you mute your phone? Not mute. Can you turn off your speakerphone?
I took my speaker off.
That's better.
Yeah, I took my speaker off. I want to make an invitation to everyone who wants to watch the eclipse the way that I will watch it. And it is, as an elemental, I'll go to the center of the sun, as I often do, for my very best spiritual connection to this galaxy and to the Earth and all the other realms that I am. I invite you to join me and watch everybody else watch the eclipse. Just another way to see it from another perspective, not on Earth, but in the center of the sun, we're going to watch you watching us.
Okay. Well, from the center of the sun, of course, there is no eclipse. So,
and that's what I mean. We will be watching you watch the eclipse from the center of the sun.
And
then I can come back.
Yeah, that's got humor to it, Stormy.
Thank you, Stormy.
Yeah. I get to see things from different ways.
Oh, yes, you do.
And really. And what a blessing it is that I can have all of these different perspectives and perceptions. And I am truly blessed.
Mm-hmm.
That I have been honored this way, and in that honor, I can bring that honor and that truth to other people that they may be able to see from a different point of view also. So blessings for this day and for all of us. And
thank you, Stormy.
I'll just say next.
Thank you, Stormy. We love you. We appreciate you calling. Christopher, your line is open.
Oh, hello, everybody. So, Glenda, I wanted to say I appreciated you sharing your story about the email list. And I sparked to come on the call when I heard you say that when you went to Yeshua, he said, oh, don't worry, they'll be there. I'm their invitation. And I just laughed out loud and I said, yes, you are. And I just want to share this experience I've been having. I guess it was several weeks ago I was expressing concern about like reading the Old Testament and being so overwhelmed by these punitive images of God and not knowing how to deal with it. And then in the conversation with Nancy, we also talked about people who have very, very rigid or very structured ways of looking at that. Well, since that time, I've been having a really profound experience with the Bible, and I never thought that would happen. Since I asked for a blessing because I was concerned. I was like, I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. You know, from the way that people interpret it, it feels very oppressive to me. And so, but they say, you know, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will open up the Word. And
that's right.
Suddenly I start having these experiences where it's not really the words on the page anymore. It's an experience of the pulsation of love.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my meditation, I go in and I follow that love. So when you talked about this fear you had, you know, about or the anxiety that came up when you couldn't send an email, it really reminded me of an anxiety that I'd been having this week, if I was really honest with myself, that a friend of mine and I had decided to gather a group of people from throughout the community, Christians, non-Christians, spiritual people, curious people, to watch The Chosen together. And I was worried that we might meet people wouldn't want to come or they wouldn't show up. And he keeps nudging me through the Holy Spirit to these stories in the Bible where the apostles doubted him. And, mm-hmm. or when they were so functioning from their own personal will that they weren't seeing him for who he is. And so there's this really amazing story, which many of you probably know, where after he rose, he came and visited them on the beach. They were out. Peter said, I'm going to go for to go fishing. And so they stayed out all night, and they didn't catch any fish. And when they came back to the shore, there he was standing on the shore making fish for them on a charcoal fire by the shore. And he said, children, you didn't catch anything last night, did you? And they all said, no, we didn't, Lord. Or they, you know, they knew it was him. They recognized him. And they said, no, we didn't. And he said, well, put your net on the right side of the boat. And when they did it, it got flooded with fish, 153 fish. And he invited them to come and sit by the fire with him. And so I've been meditating on this, how often I try to fix it and figure it out myself, and how little confidence I can really have in my own ability to make things happen. But there was this amazing message when I sat with that story and I put myself right in the middle of it as if I were standing there with him or with the apostles. Mm-hmm. And I said, what would it be like to be around him? What would it be like to listen to him right now and trust that this is his work, and to stop trying to think that I know how to do this, and to listen to how he would tell me to do it, put it on the right side of the boat. And they said it was so many fish that the net could have broken, but it didn't. And so I've been experimenting with that, inserting myself inside of these stories and not just thinking about them, but deeply feeling his presence and considering, oh my goodness, I'm just like one of those apostles. I've seen him do miracles over and over again. What am I doing doubting him? Let me put myself right in his presence and hand exactly. that over.
Exactly.
You know?
Christopher, I just want to really insert something important right here, is that he is the way, okay? Not protocol, not doctrine, and not even the Bible. He is the way. And yeah. I say that about the Holy Spirit, God the Creator, God the Son. It doesn't matter which form the presence of God is in. God is the way. That is the way. What we say about him is just what we say about him. That's it. And it can be helpful at times because it becomes a means of communication that we can reach other people with. But what it takes to catch the fish is our faith and his presence. That's it. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Our faith, his presence. Simple.
I like that. I mean, yeah, that biblical way of doing it is just one way of tapping into that incredible presence that is eternal.
Exactly.
It is here. Right now,
right here,
and it not only relieves my soul to do, you know, to meditate upon his, like you said, it's a medium of communication, but really it's connecting with his immensity and his and me kind of laughing at myself and going, there I go again, trying to do it and thinking that I'm the one doing it. And he says, it's you. No, I'm the invitation, Glenda. And I say, yeah, that's right, he's the invitation. Let me get out of here.
Yeah, that was a perfect example, you know. And I had really gotten to the point where I was only a few minutes before that realization came to me. I just threw up my hands and said, well, this just doesn't matter. I'm putting too much effort into something that doesn't matter. And then he spoke up and he said, yeah, don't worry about it. I will invite them. I am the invitation. So, we worry about too much and have faith in too little.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you, Glenda. And it's just a prayer for all of us, for myself and all of us, that that we can spend more time in that faith and that receptive to his glory.
Amen.
Truly.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Yes. Well, you know, I asked him out of human curiosity about the time the painting was finished, and this was back in 1992, I said, what am I supposed to do with this? Obviously, you didn't have me create this for my living room wall. And he just said, give it to my people. And then I came to realize from different other people would ask me the same thing. They would say, well, why did you paint this? And I would tell them a little bit of the, about the story, and I came to realize what he wanted was to be among his people. His people being potentially everybody, but specifically those who wanted to be with him. And there are lots and lots of people who have gotten entangled with doctrine, protocol, rituals, etc. I mean, they're almost entangled like a wild animal in barbed wire. They can't get loose, and they've come to just almost hate that entanglement. And yet they want to be with him, and that's what they want, and it's all they want. And that's why he came here 2,000 years ago, and he was doing a little booster shot on that by creating a painting that could just give people a chance to look in his eyes and be with him without anything else in the storyline. Be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Just be with him. You don't have to know anything else. You don't need to know anything else. When you're with the one who created the universe, you don't need to know anything else. Just take care of it. Let him look in your eyes. And that's even harder, my friends. It's actually easier to look in his eyes than it is to let him look in yours.
Mm.
Because if he looks in yours, he may see something you don't want him to see.
Mm-hmm.
Including your doubt, including your lack of faith, including your personal insecurity and your fears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Kustra, we always have a great conversation.
Thank you so much. Wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah. We love you, Christopher. I'm going to open another line here, Glenda. Let's see. It's Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hey, sweetheart. Can you hear me?
Hello, Mary.
We can. How are you today?
Hi, you guys. I love you so much.
Love you too.
Gosh, I have so many thoughts in my head now, but I wanted to say I was unable to call in to the blessing on Easter Sunday, but I was so connected, and I asked Jesus for the blessing to be with me. I was actually at the bedside of beloved ones of mine, and they were taking their 30-year-old daughter off of life support on Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. So if you could please include the Halsey family in the blessing. This is the family of my beloved ex-husband. We are still the best of friends, and I am the best of friends with his girlfriend and his family, and we all look out for each other, and I have learned so much from them. They are Jehovah's Witnesses, and I have learned so much as I have through this blessing that, you know, we can support each other so much just by showing up and bearing witness to love. Mm. And that's what myself and this family have always done. And we have these spiritual differences, but we just hold each other in that space of love. And so I just feel like, you know, I wasn't put on this earth to preach or proselytize or convert. If I just show up as love, just like Jesus says, that's really, that is the greatest power and soft strength. And I think that's what heals and changes our world. So I just want to thank you for these blessings, and I want to thank Yeshua for being here with us always. And I just love you all, and if you could keep the Halsey family in your prayers and in the blessing. So, and for all those who are going through loss or just letting go, as well as holding on to that love. So God bless everyone. I love you all, and blessed eclipse of that light that never leaves us.
Oh, Mary, you're so sweet. And I can hear a little stress in your voice. So I pray that cause will just smooth out and go away, because all you need is just to be in the presence of Christ and all is well.
Right. Amen. Well, thank you. Love you, and God bless everybody.
God bless you too, Mary.
God bless you, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Thinking of her special soul, of your family, as she moves on.
Thank you
so much for coming in today, Mary. Okay, Glenda, we have Elizabeth. You're here. Your line is open, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Thank you, Christopher. That was really wonderful. And I just want to thank you again for last Easter Sunday and that whole transmission you gave us. I'm still with it a week later. It was wonderful and really, really meant the world to me. So thank you for that. And I would just like to ask some blessings for healing for my friend Jana and her sister Lynn, who are on the Isle of Wight in the UK. And I would also like to ask for healing for my brother in Sydney, Australia. And ongoing blessings for my sister Virginia and her friend Millie, who are working through relationship issues, and it is all starting. I can feel the energy changing, so the blessings are working, and I'm so grateful for that. And for tomorrow for the eclipse, because I'm in New York City, so I've got my glasses, and I'll be in Central Park, and very blessed that I'm in the path of such a momentous occasion. And just to thank you too for bringing this on Sunday, and Yeshua for a closeness I'm starting to feel like, a real friendship, and that he's always there and I can just speak out what I need, and it just synchronicities are happening more and more. I need this, and suddenly it turns up, and I feel just a closeness and a connection that I haven't felt at this level before. So I just want to say thank you. Just thank you is all I can say. Thank you.
Well, to have that closeness is the greatest blessing there is, because all the others come from it. So I'm so happy for you, Elizabeth, and you are so, so deserving. Just reach into the universe and fill your basket, because everything is waiting for you. It's all waiting for you.
Yes, I feel that so strongly. I just feel it. What I need and want is just coming to me in avalanches right now, and I just have to be there and receive it, and it's all just very wonderful. So thank you, Glenda.
Yes,
and it's these years of being on this blessing call with you that is, you know, I think we change every time, every Sunday, where things change and we, our spiritual self, we get more in touch with our soul and the wisdom that's within our soul, and nothing is without, it's all within. And
absolutely.
And I feel like, you know, some of the lessons you've taught us, and just like last Sunday was like, oh my goodness. And I'm listening to it again because it was so much. And this changes us inside. And these calls are just wonderful. And I can't thank you enough for being here and doing it. Every Sunday I've got a place to go where there's friends and a community that I can feel part of. And it's just wonderful. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you are a light unto us, Elizabeth. And we love you.
Thank you, Glenda.
Forward to hearing your delightful words every Sunday. So don't stop. We would miss you greatly.
Oh, yes, and I would miss you. I mean, it's family, you know, like Christopher and Tony was. I mean, I miss Tony so much, you know, with all his wonderful information. I'm sure he's with us now with the eclipse and everything. And we had an earthquake in New York on Friday too, which I don't know whether anyone's heard about, but there was an earthquake in New York City, which was a little unsettling, to say the least. But
I can imagine.
There's so much going on with Mother Gaia, the planet right now, that Tony would know all about what it all means. So, you know, we've got so many wonderful people who've been on this call who tune in from other levels of consciousness, as I'm sure Tony does, and it's just wonderful to be a part of it. And I just, again, thank you are the only words. There's nothing else to say. Words don't express the depths of my feelings. So thank you, and I will let the next caller come. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I will.
Oh, gosh. Well, Glenda, we are, our board is clear right now.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, let's see. We need to just close it while we can, because we are at 4:15, and that lets us just get straight into our blessing. So I will take care of that. And, oh, this was just perfect timing, and I wasn't sure how many people would, but isn't that just amazing? Isn't it just amazing how everything works out perfectly in this blessing community and the blessing call and all of us who are here? And I like to think of our legacy members who are still with us. Tony, Desmond, June, Larry, and others who've come through the portals and have been here, shared the blessing, given their heart, their love, their soul. Well, they're still tuning in from wherever they are. I mean, they just don't need a telephone or a number. They just tune in because they love us. And that's all lucky little dogs. I mean, they don't have to rely on these worldly communications that we shouldn't worry about them at all. But, you know, we're human, and we do. But when we catch ourselves, that's when things can change. And that's the key. Just be willing. Look, love into who you are. These are my final words. Don't resist who you are. You're human. You're going to stub your toe. You're going to bump your knee occasionally. You'll say something you wish you hadn't said. Occasionally, maybe you went down a wrong path. You got to turn around, reverse your order of life or your priority or something. But don't add to that a curse to your life, like all the bad things we could say about ourselves or think about ourselves, or anything from I'm stupid or I never get things. Of course, you get things right. you're here, you're winning, you're with God. Of course you get things right. Every now and then you'll stumble. That's it. And just pick yourself up and say, well, gee, that was interesting, but it's not where I want to stay. All right, calling all angels, calling Yeshua, calling the Holy Spirit. Help me up. Where do I go? You know, I say that often. Just and last night was just a typical instance. It went, and of all things, in regard to a blessing call, why should I worry about that? Well, the apostles worry about everything also. So I'm just going to take it with a light heart, and I hope you do the same with your life. But for now, at this moment, we're going to be with God. At this moment, we're going to start by stretching our body. We're going to extend our legs, whether we're sitting down, standing up. Oh, we're going to move that neck around, because that's where so much stress builds up. And even if you say, but I'm not stressing, your body probably is. And you want to find out, move your neck and you'll find out. It'll go, oh, well, gee, that kind of feels good. And then you move a little more and you bend forward and stretch your back and you say, well, that feels good too. Okay, see, movement that is in the spirit of goodness always feels good. And at the end of every creative adventure in life, even if it's a small moment, stretch out, look at what just happened, and say, you know, that feels good. Sometimes it just feels good to have left it, but it's even better when you can say, you know, there was a lot of good within that. We've got to learn to find our blessings. It's important to ask for them. It's important to join with others who will hold them for us and believe that we can be blessed and know that we will be blessed. All these. But, you know, you've also got to learn to look for blessings that have already been given. Your life is filled with them, and you're not reaching for them. You've dismissed them for some reason. Maybe it's because you thought you couldn't have them. Maybe it's because you thought you had to go first, become worthy of them, or do something to qualify yourself to have that blessing. You're already qualified, my friends. You're already qualified because you're a child of God, a prince and a princess in the kingdom of heaven. You're qualified. And all the things the world tries to put on you are simply because in quantifiable space, this is the law of quantifiable space, really it is. Something must become, something must happen before something else happens. Okay? You need to drive a car or take some other form of transport to get from one place to another. Or maybe it's just walking. But actually, you can sit on your patio in your alpha state of ethereal being and go there without travel, without taking your body at all. There are so many things you can bring to yourself by acquiring them first, as they've been given, as you know they exist, over and over until you have it in the quantifiable space. See, you're learning to drive the car called quantifiable car, and it's got to have gasoline in it before it can turn over and run. It has to have tires on the wheel before it can engage with the road. There are qualifications in the quantifiable world. There are no qualifications in the kingdom of heaven. If you're there, you have access to it all. Seek and you will find. Ask and you receive. Be open and you will have. Touch and it will be given to you. Okay? Now we're going to begin realizing that we've got to make this quantifiable world just a little bit happy so it will relax and let us just move on upstairs to where we belong. Okay, so I want you just to finish stretching. You can lean your body to the right and to the left. I'll let you be creative about it because this is not, we're not at the gym. This is not calisthenics. I just want you to really be fluid because the blessing will come to you in an energetic form because everything is energy. And energy and light and love and faith are the elements that are common to both the kingdom of heaven and the worldly kingdoms. And by connecting with those elements that are common to both kingdoms, we have a better way of pulling them to us. So let your faith be strong. Let your body be fluid. Be open to a flow of energy moving through you. And be the light of your life. Be lighted and welcome the light. Now, take a deep breath. Okay, fill your body completely with air. Breathe through your nose so it goes up to your sinus cavities as well. Hold it and now propel it out in such a way that you literally flush your body clean. Take another deep, deep breath through your nose. Shoulders up so you lift your diaphragm. Feel it, expand it, hold it. Now push it out to clean your body. And now be quiet and just relax. I will offer my prayer to Yeshua, after which you will offer your prayers quietly, silently. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, holder of love, champion of us all, the one who brings us into the light of truth, and presents us before the holiness of God, the creator of all things. We thank you for everything you have given to us. Most of all, your compassion, your understanding, your forgiveness, your tolerance, and even your sense of humor when we need it, because you know what we're going through. You've been here, you've seen it. And sometimes we are just worrisome, silly humans, not realizing that we have already been given the keys to the kingdom. But we're here to learn. We're here to gain experience and pull the treasures of life into ourself, that we may be all that we can be. We ask especially these things for those who know not to ask yet. We ask for them, that they will be nudged and opened to realize they can't ask. We ask most especially that you care for the children and you bring them into heavenly ways that are still alive in their hearts, being children, that these ways may be protected and progressed into their adulthood, that they may walk in faith and in strength, in joy, and benefit to themselves and all that ever know them. We ask for your blessings upon the creatures of life that give us so much support in life, that love us unconditionally and forgive us every time we err. We are so richly blessed to have all of our Father's creation and his kingdom made available to us. This day, we come to you again to ask for your special blessings to the heart of each one praying to you, that their life might be touched, lifted, healed, and opened to a benevolent and beautiful future, which is better than they ever thought it could be. And with that, we surrender in peace to receive. And I ask all of these things of the Father in your holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me in conducting the blessing?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, God, for the blessings you have just given to our loved ones, our community, and all of humanity. Everyone, be blessed. Now, I would like you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes. And I don't mean in your chair, I mean stretched out horizontally. However that works for you, on your sofa, in your bed, on your floor, on a mat, or on the grass. Because we want all parts of your body to receive this blessing equally. We want everything in your life to be at the neutral point for receiving the blessings of God completely. Be a whiteboard upon which he writes his blessings in blazing, glowing light. And look for them in the next hours, days, or weeks ahead of you. And I hope you will join us again next week. We're always here. It's always given freely to anyone who asks. Tell your friends and join us again. Bye-bye for now, and have a wonderful rest of your day.